नमः। श्री चैतन्य मनोविश्वम सापितं येन भूतले स्वयं रूप कदा मह्यं ददाति स्वपदांतिकं। वंदेहं श्रीगुरो श्रीयुतपदकमलं श्रीगुरोन्वैष्णवांश्च श्रीरूपं सार्वजातं सगुणरघुनाथान्वितं संसजीवं साद्वैतं सावधूतं परिजनसहितं कृष्णचैतन्यदेवं श्री राधा कृष्ण पादान सगुण ललिता श्री विशाखान्वितांश। जय श्री कृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानंद श्री अद्वैत गदाधर श्रीवासदि गौर भक्तवृंद। हरे कृष्णा 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 हरे हरे, हरे राम 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 हरे हरे। साधु साधु तदाई नथी नीचो तार खाना मंत्र प्रदाचिन माम श्री मदद कंटयो। ओके, सो वी विल हैव रामनवमी लेक्चर इन इन दैट विलेज प्रोग्राम इटसेल्फ। सो वील फोकस अवर ऑन भक्ति शास्त्री नाउ। सो वी हैव कंप्लीटेड डिस्कस्ड ऑन अवर डिस्कशन ऑन सेकेंड चैप्टर ऑफ भगवद्गीता। सो नाउ टुडे वी विल स्टार्ट थर्ड चैप्टर। सेकेंड चैप्टर इज समरी ऑफ ऑल द कंटेंट्स ऑफ भगवद्गीता। So therefore, because Krishna spoke so many things at a time, Arjuna became confused. So Arjuna is expressing his confusion here in the third chapter. So from third chapter onwards, Krishna is going to speak all the topics which he has spoken in the second chapter in a more organized way. So this chapter basically speaks about Karma Yoga. Now we are discussing, we discuss Buddhi Yoga based on Srila Prabhupada's explanation of Buddhi Yoga in different places. In 10th chapter, 6th chapter, then renunciation through wisdom. So all these explanations we brought together and we discussed and we understood Buddhi Yoga. But Arjuna, he could not understand Buddhi Yoga, how it is. So his understanding of Buddhi Yoga, Buddhi means knowledge, intelligence. So intelligence is generally connected to knowledge. So his understanding of Buddhi Yoga was take to the path of renunciation, give up karma, take karma sannyas and engage in Buddhi Yoga. So that was his understanding of Buddhi Yoga. So he completely misunderstood what is Buddhi Yoga. So, and therefore in the first verse of this, third chapter, he is completely confused and disturbed. Why you are engaging me in this such a horrible work, horrible work, he says. Karma means especially Arjuna, Kshatriya's karma is what? Killing. Kim karmani ghore maam, he says. Ghore, very horrible work. Killing. Why you want to engage me in this, he says. So if I have to, if you are recommending me Buddhi Yoga, then why you are again telling me to work? Engaging me into, recommending me to fight. So therefore, so Arjuna wanted more clarification. So from third chapter onwards, now very systematically, first he will explain Karma Yoga. Then he will explain Jnana, how in fifth chapter he will so jnana means you see transcendental knowledge in the fourth chapter, and in the fifth chapter how this transcendental knowledge and karma yoga both culminate in liberation. So that is fifth chapter of Bhagavad Gita. Or they culminate in devotional service. That is last verse, you know. So knowing Krishna. So, Krishna, accepting Krishna as one enjoyer of all the fruits of action. So, that is, what is that? 5 and 29? Bhuktaram yajna tapasam sarva loka maheshwaram suhridam sarva bhutanam jnatva mam shanti mrishati. So, everywhere he touches bhakti, devotional service. So it so karma yoga as well as jnana culminate in liberation. And then in the sixth chapter he explains Ashtanga Yoga. In this way he explained this yoga ladder. So then Shuddha Bhakti, middle six chapters. So devotional service. So more elaborately he describes devotional service. And so like that. In the first verse, Srila Prabhupada comments on this chapter. In the first verse purport, third chapter, first verse purport, Krishna says, Lord Krishna elaborately explained karma yoga or work in Krishna consciousness in this third chapter, he says. In the purport, you see, of the third chapter. You got that statement? Lord Krishna elaborately explained karma yoga or work in Krishna consciousness in this third chapter, like that he says. And then, so in last verse of the purport. Now, I don't know whether I mentioned it to you all that how it is important to study the first verse purport and last verse purport thoroughly, because first verse purport and last verse purport of each chapter is filled with filled with Siddhanta. What is the conclusion? What is it? Is summary, essence is described in this first and last verse purport. So I would like to read from the last verse purport. You see here, this third chapter of Bhagavad Gita is conclusively directive to Krishna consciousness by knowing oneself as the eternal servitor of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Without considering impersonal voidness, the ultimate end. See, this statement, how to understand this? This chapter of Bhagavad Gita is conclusively directive to Krishna consciousness by knowing oneself as the eternal servitor of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Without considering impersonal voidness, the ultimate end. So, generally some statement, in writing, first assertions are made and those points are further elaborated in the coming statements. So we'll read that, we'll come back. In the material existence of life, one is certainly influenced by propensities for lust and desire for dominating the resources of material nature. So now you see, lust and desire. Towards the end of the third chapter, Krishna spoke about lust and desire. But it's not just only towards the end of third chapter he spoke. He spoke till now, whatever he has spoken about, especially in the second chapter, you see. Buddhi yoga means what? He is cutting sense gratification there. Yoga means giving up sense gratification. So there is no question of yoga with sense gratification. And especially Krishna, in that section of Buddhi Yoga, he condemned this sense gratification on the platform of karma, karma kanda. We were discussing, now people are engaged in abominable karma, you know, sense gratification. I quoted one statement of Srila Prabhupada and Charvaka. At least followers of Charvaka, they engaged in sense gratification by drinking ghee, eating ghee. But now people are engaged in sense gratification by eating meat. So very degraded, modern days. So at the time of Krishna, when Vedic culture was very strong, so everyone was engaged in sense gratification according to Vedic injunctions by following the process of karma kanda method. Therefore Krishna condemned that. So following karma kanda and engaging in sense gratification. So in a philosophical analysis, so how they are so-called followers of the Vedas, that is not the actual purpose of the Vedas. So actual purpose of the Vedas is to attain love of God, attain Krishna consciousness. So in this way, Krishna condemns, and you should perform your duty being situated in yoga. Yogastha kuru karmani sangam tektva karotiya. Like that Krishna says, that being situated in yoga you perform. Being situated in yoga means by giving up self gratification and offering the, not being attached to results and offering the results to Krishna. That is yoga. So in this way, so Lord Krishna, he condemns self gratification. And towards the end of the third chapter, he again condemns lust and cautions Arjuna that or anyone who wants to follow this path of yoga, offering or sacrifice, offering one's prescribed results of one's prescribed duties to Supreme Lord, Yajna, to be aware of this lust and desire. So lust and desire will lead us to sinful activities, or they may lead us to sophisticated sense gratification within dharma, within the boundary of dharma. So pious and impious. But Krishna, he has already told in the second chapter, ube sukruta duskrute, give up both these, sukruta duskrute. So duskrute means engaging in sinful activities, and sukrute means within the boundary of dharma, engaging in sense gratification, pious activities. So both are cause of bondage. Both will, you know, make you to again take birth in this material world. So therefore, people either in the material world, everyone is attached to lust and desire. Everyone is attached to lust and desire. Everyone was attached to sense gratification. So therefore, again and again, Krishna encourages us that give up this sense gratification and engage in devotional service. So that is the meaning. Now why Prabhupada says that without considering impersonal voidness the ultimate end? So why impersonal voidness the ultimate end? So because they also encourage sense gratification. Prabhupada in Bhagavatam Parpata, in the first verse Parpata, first or third verse Parpata, yeah, third verse. Impersonalism has become impetus for sense gratification. In modern days, sex is the focal point of all the activities, and impersonalism has become the cause of this sense gratification. why impersonalism, Mayavad, or Shunyavad become cause of sense gratification? Why impersonalism, Shunyavad, Mayavad is the cause of sense gratification? It's a very philosophical point to understand. Or put it in a better philosophical term. Why impersonalism or voyeurism is the cause of hedonism? In modern days, everyone is interested in bhoga, 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 bhoga. That is hedonism. Sense enjoyment, sense enjoyment. Some way or the other way. Either in the name of religion, either in the name of science and technology advancement, education. Everyone is interested in bhoga, bhoga. Why impersonalism, mayavad is the cause of bhoga?
Makes us God, so we are supreme, so whatever we are doing, we are doing it, there is no thought of
God. Okay. You heard, everyone heard what he said? Any other points?
It doesn't engage our senses in the service of God. It doesn't allow.
This is also an important point, huh? But you have to tell it in a more better way. Actually, I wanted for this point only. But I want it better way, put it in a better way. You can come close, a little closer. You can put your desk front. Why Mayavad and impersonalism is the cause of hedonism?
Because of Mayavad, they will not get the higher days. In the lower days, they will sit in lower days, so they cannot use that.
This is the point. Who will get attracted to this kind of spirituality or philosophy which will make you to just give up everything? Just give up, give up, give up, give up, give up. So, or in other words, they are trying to direct everyone to a kind of situation where there is no variety, variegatedness. So, it is told, no, in English, variety is the mother of enjoyment. And if you tell that everything is impersonal and void, who will be attracted to that? So therefore, impersonalism is the cause of hedonism. But in Krishna consciousness, we get higher taste, and therefore we automatically give up this lower taste. So that is the advantage. Basically, what is the point is, Krishna wants Arjuna to engage in yoga, give up sense gratification, because why we are talking about sense gratification? Arjuna's arguments for not fighting was based on sense gratification. Prabhupada summarized that in 2.39 purport. He summarized that. His desire to protect his family members and see them happy was based on, he especially talks about two things, you know, two ways. This war will not bring happiness to myself, that is his sense gratification, and to see that his relatives and friends should not die in the battle and they should be happy, that is another sense gratification, that is extended sense gratification. So both way Arjuna wanted to engage in sense gratification, but Krishna's recommendation to Arjuna is give up sense gratification and engage in yoga. So therefore, Prabhupada here, he says that conclusively, directive, in the material existence of life, one is certainly influenced by propensities of lust and desire to dominate the resources of material nature. So we are reading from 3.43. You all can see that. So desire for overlording and for sense gratification is the greatest enemy of the conditioned soul. But by the strength of Krishna consciousness, one can control the material senses, the mind, and the intelligence. One may not give up. See here. By the strength of Krishna consciousness, one can control material senses, mind, and intelligence. one may not give up work and prescribed duties all of a sudden, but by gradually developing Krishna consciousness, one can be situated in a transcendental position without being influenced by the material senses and the mind, by steady intelligence directed towards one's pure identity. So, by steady intelligence directed towards one pure identity. This is Buddhi, actually. Buddhi Yoga. This is the sum total of this chapter. In the immature stage of material existence, philosophical speculation and artificial attempts to control the senses by so-called practice of yoga postures can never help a man towards spiritual life. He must be trained in Krishna consciousness by higher intelligence. So, okay. This is one more comment on third chapter. Elaborate comment. It's basically summary of the third chapter. And in 5.1 also, there is one statement on third chapter. In the third chapter it was explained that a person who is situated on the platform of knowledge no longer has any duties to perform. That is 17th verse of third chapter. Yasya atmaratireva syad atmatriptasya mantama atmanneva chatantustas tasya karyam na vidyate. For him there are no duties. So that is the essential verse of Bhagavad, you know, third chapter of Bhagavad Gita, most essential verse. So, by saying that, Arjuna will say that, you know, I'll situate myself in transcendent, and Arjuna is qualified also. So he is apparently in illusion, because we have seen in the second chapter beginning, so we were discussing from that Upanishadic quote which Prabhupada has put in his purport, that how Arjuna had complete control over senses. Therefore, he was eligible candidate for studying Bhagavad Gita, hearing Bhagavad Gita. But in 17th, after 17th verse of the third chapter, when he says that one who is on transcendental platform does not have any duties to perform, that doesn't mean that Krishna encouraged him to cease the duties. So he told him, even for the sake of setting example for others, those who are on transcendental position, they perform their prescribed duties. See, this is our third section which we have mentioned here. Even persons on transcendental platform, so perform prescribed duties for setting example for others. So in this way, so basically there are, we have made five sections. So first two verses in the chapter express Arjuna's, Arjuna expressed his confusion, and Krishna, he basically asked that you recommend me whether I should engage in Buddhi Yoga or engage in this horrible work of fighting. Ghore Maam, he says. So, but that is his misunderstanding of Buddhi Yoga, which we discussed. And then Krishna recommends that you have to perform prescribed duties for the pleasure of Supreme Lord, Yajna. Yajna artat karma no anyatra lokoyam karma bandhana tadartam karma kaunteya mukta sangha namachara. So then in the second section he explains what is this principle of Yajna. So Yajna is meant for demigods. Ultimately it is meant for Supreme Lord Vishnu. So how, by performing this cycle, this yajna, so one will get all the necessities of life and ultimately one attains liberation. So then section 3, even those who are on transcendental position, they should perform prescribed duties to set example for others. In this again there are two sections. So Krishna gives example of living entities, those who are in jiva tattva category, or in other words, great devotees, who are on transcendental platform but still performed yagya like that. He quotes example of Janaka Maharaj. So then he gives example of himself. Krishna is also on transcendental platform. He is also beyond karma. So he is always beyond karma. It is not that he followed the method of prescribed duties or yoga and he, in the end, he became transcendental. But he is always beyond karma. He is always on transcendental platform. Still he performs prescribed duties. So, to set an example. So these are the two sections there. And then section 30-35, performing one's own duties is better. And that is the recommendation of Bhagavad Gita. That is the purpose of Bhagavad Gita. And section 5, how one should be cautious about this dangerous enemy of lust. Why he brings up lust again? Because, so basically, a lot of arguments of Arjuna were also based on sense gratification. And everyone in the material world is interested in sense gratification. And especially sadhakas, those who are still, sadhakas would be on material platform, therefore they have to be careful of this dangerous enemy. So Krishna is cautioning that. So coming to the first verse of first chapter, we have that printout. It is there, or here? Third chapter. Okay, so we have very limited time. We'll few verses at least we'll discuss, and then we'll go to Gaurai Kavi. Text 1. Jnayasi chet karmanaste mata buddhire janardana tatkim karmani gore namakiyo jeshikeshava. So Arjuna said, O Janardana, O Keshava, why do you want to engage me in this ghastly warfare? If you think that intelligence is better than fruity work. So Arjuna is addressing Krishna as Janardana or Keshava. So generally, now in this purport, Prabhupada has not spoken the significance of Krishna has, Prabhupada has not given the significance of Janardana or Keshava, but we can understand from first chapter purport Prabhupada has explained Janardana. So Janardana has two meanings. One is one who is maintainer of living entities. Another is one who is killer of living entities. So he is killer also, he is maintainer also of the living entities. So these are the two meanings of Janardana. Now the significance in this verse is, if you see, Krishna, you are enemy of demons. Why you want to, and you are killer of, you know, all the living entities. You kill. Why you are engaging me into this horrible work of fighting and killing, he says. I will come to this point, but still now I'll make it up. So I'll come back to this point again. Generally in this world, because of lust and tendency towards, because of lust, anger comes towards the end of this chapter. Krishna will discuss that. Kama and Krodha. So either people are interested in engaging in sex or violence, that's all. You see, in modern society, just a society of sex and violence. So, here basically, because Arjuna is very saintly by nature, he is automatically not interested in both of these. So, apparently he gave arguments based on sense gratification. But he is not interested in sense gratification, because you see, it was also discussed in the beginning of the second chapter how renounced he was. He was ready to even live by begging. Bhiksham api haloke. So because he is saintly, but it is like in the material world, war is necessary, fighting is necessary. So such people have to be encouraged to be violent for the sake of establishing dharma. And some people would be what? By nature they will be violent, therefore they have to be regulated. So therefore this knowledge is required or prescribed duties. Here Krishna, neither he is interested in, people may think that Bhagavad Gita is a book of violence. And Arjuna is also speaking like this, Gore, why you want to engage in this horrible killing, he says. Violence, but not necessary that violence is always horrible. So some people are interested in horrible violence, and some people are so-called, by their so-called saintliness, they want to avoid violence which is necessary. You see, these are the two situations in the material world. So some people want to be so-called saintly, and some people want to, they don't have any saintliness, they are violent. So this is dvandva of this material world, dualities of this material world. So Krishna explains properly what to be done here. So anyway, I brought this point because Krishna, I mean, he used the term, you know, Janardana, you are killer of living entities. You are killer of Keshi demon. Keshava. So, yeah, coming back to the point that here, je nyayasi chet karmanaste mathabuddhir janardana. So, nyayasi chet karmanaste mathabuddhir. By stating that buddhi yoga is superior to karma, if you say, yeah, so if you say that buddhi yoga is superior to karma yoga, then why you are engaging me this horrible work? So we will discuss this more in the next verse purport. What was the confusion of Arjuna? To some extent we have touched it in our summary discussion. The personality of Godhead, Prabhupada he explains. Personality of Godhead, Sri Krishna has very elaborately described the constitution of the soul in the previous chapter. That is verse number 11 to 30th. With a view of delivering his friend, his intimate friend Arjuna from the ocean of grief, and the path of realization has been recommended as Buddhi Yoga or Krishna Consciousness. So what was Arjuna's misunderstanding? Sometimes Krishna Consciousness is misunderstood to be inertia. Now I was just explaining that in our explanation. So we discussed Buddhi Yoga. And I mentioned from different places where Prabhupada has given comments on that. And I was telling that there was no Prabhupada Bhaktivedanta purports to Arjuna when he was studying, when he was hearing Bhagavad Gita. So, and how he misunderstood. Now in this verse he is telling that, oh my Lord, you told me that Buddhi Yoga is superior to karma. You see, we understood Buddhi Yoga as including all karma, jnana, karma yoga, jnana yoga, ashtanga yoga and bhakti yoga. But he is differentiating karma from Buddhi Yoga. That is the mistake of Arjuna. You got this technically, you know, this was the problem with Arjuna. So, of course, here by using the word jnayasi, jnayasi means superior he is using. Then also there is discrimination between karma and buddhi there. He is not just telling that in the ladder karma is below and buddhi is above. So he is not just saying, so Krishna did not teach it like that. Krishna taught that buddhi yoga includes karma also. That was Krishna's explanation of buddhi yoga. But by saying that karma, buddhi is superior to karma, Arjuna is discriminating between these two processes. So this is misunderstanding of Arjuna. And by misunderstanding, so here Prabhupada, that's why sometimes Krishna consciousness is misunderstood to be inertia. So what he mean by buddhi means take karma sannyas, take renunciation, take karma sannyas, give up prescribed duties and sit and meditate. So that was why to engage in this horrible karma, horrible fighting, violence. So that is Arjuna's confusion, misunderstanding. It's not just confusion, it is misunderstanding. So based on, you see, here we come to the point that people study Bhagavad Gita and misunderstand, and based on their misunderstanding, they misinterpret. They give, wrong meanings to Bhagavad Gita. So Arjuna is also giving misinterpreting here. Actually, this word misinterpretation is not there in English. Prabhupada, he introduced that. There is word malinterpretation, actually. But it has a meaning. Malinterpretation and misinterpretation, it's not meaningless actually. It's not a lack of understanding. But the misinterpretation is more suitable. It is more philosophical and more suitable. So Arjuna is also misinterpreting Krishna's teachings in these two verses. So clear it is? If it is not clear, you can ask after a few minutes. We'll stop it. I'll just read this. Sometimes Krishna consciousness is misunderstood to be inertia. One with such a misunderstanding often withdraws to a secluded place to become fully Krishna consciousness by chanting the holy name of Lord Krishna. So, directly Prabhupada brings us to misconceptions on the platform of bhakti. Because his emphasis always in the purpose, Bhaktivedanta purpose is devotional service. So not even lower levels, Bhakti Yoga, Jnana Yoga, Ashtanga Yoga, although they are also yoga. So on the platform of Bhakti, what can be misconceptions and misunderstanding? So he is giving example just to make a comparative analysis to Arjuna's misunderstanding and misconception. So we may think, oh, what is this Gurukula, taking care of children, headache of all the children, better we go to, Vrindavan, Mayapur, and chant Hare Krishna. Who will fight with the government, right to Education Act? Who will make all this political agitation? These are all big, big challenges. Who will do all this? Better chant Hare Krishna. Or you may not go to Vrindavan and Mayapur, but adjust Krishna consciousness. Make it more, so-called saintliness. Instead of encouraging Arjuna's spirit of fighting, fighting against dharma, fighting against so-called materialism, pseudo-saintliness. So we may adjust Krishna consciousness and present it. Take trouble. We want to become inert. We want to become. This is a problem with us. And the same problem as Arjuna was also suffering. So, withdraws to a secluded place to become fully Krishna consciousness by chanting the holy name of Lord Krishna. So, often Prabhupada described, what is our chanting? He said, kicking on the face of Darwin is our kirtan, he says. That is our kirtan. So, we may, chanting Hare Krishna is part, it is the heart of our Krishna consciousness. But on intellectual platform, that is service to Krishna, that is chanting, that is kirtan. So, but without being trained in the philosophy of Krishna consciousness, it is not advisable to chant the holy name of Krishna in a secluded place, where one may acquire only cheap adoration by the innocent public. Oh, I am a great devotee, I am great Mahabhagavata, I am Prem Bhakta, I can give you Prem Bhakti, like that, So this is all cheating, he says. So cheating means, Prem Bhakti means sacrificing everything for the pleasure of Krishna. So gopis did not do that kind of Prem Bhakti, they sacrifice, they took trouble to be a atrocized from the society. Social atrocity. You understand social atrocism? What is that term?
Ostracized.
Ostracized. Sorry, ostracized. So they took the challenge of social ostracism. So they took that trouble. Who will take that? Especially. So we don't want to take that. Either we want to be pseudo saintly. We want to go and, you know, Vrindavan or speak about prema bhakti and all those things. That is prema bhakti. That is highest level. Ramya kachid upasana vrajavadu vargena va kalpita. You know, the mode of bhakti which is conceived by the vrajavadus is the highest. So what is that vrajavadu bhakti? That is sacrificing everything for the, you know, pleasure of Krishna. Whether Krishna embraces us or he tramples us, so still we should serve Krishna. So that is highest conception of bhakti. So Arjuna, just for innocent public, adoration from innocent public. Why we want to be pseudo saintliness we want to show? Because we want adoration from innocent public. We want to collect lot of people. Oh, people like this. So we want to do such kind of things. Arjuna also thought of Krishna consciousness or Buddhi Yoga or intelligence in spiritual advancement of knowledge as something like reiteratement from active life and the practice of penance and austerity at a secluded place. In other words, he wanted to skillfully avoid fighting by using Krishna consciousness as an excuse. So we are very expert in these things. Skillfully avoiding our prescribed duties by giving some reason, no, right or not. Now we want to avoid, we don't want to establish Gurukula because, oh, Gurukula means it's our prescribed duty, right? So, but we want to, by saying so many reasons, we want to avoid that. Oh, child abuse was there, that was there, this was there. They will always be there in the material world, right or not? Everyone is abused in the material world, right? So children are abused, women are abused, men are abused, everyone is abused in this material world. For example, just a whole human energy could be utilized in a better, for a spiritual purpose. Like Krishna gave a plan, we will read that in the 10th verse. So you follow prescribed duties, be happy in this world and in the end go back to God. This is a program. So human energy could have been utilized that. Instead of that, in the name of industrialization, human energy is abused, right? Human beings are abused, right? So everyone is abused in this world. In other words, he wanted to skillfully avoid the fighting by using Krishna consciousness as an excuse. But as a sincere student, he placed the matter before his master, questioned Krishna to this, his best course of action. In answer, Lord Krishna elaborately explained Karma Yoga, or work in Krishna consciousness, in this third chapter. So, text 2. Vyamishreneva vakyena buddhir mohaya sivame tadekam vada nishyatya yena shreyoyam apnuyam. My intelligence is bewildered by your equivocal instructions. Therefore, please tell me decisively which will be most beneficial for me. Now here Arjuna is talking about Vyami Shreneva Vakyena by equivocal words. Sometimes we say, no, this is also important and this is also important. This is also good, this is also good. This is equivocal words. Vyami Shreneva Vakyena. Before that, I wanted to read this quote of Srila Prabhupada from the lecture. In Vrindavan you will find, this is related to first verse, in Vrindavan you will find so-called devotees of Krishna living in seclusion and supposedly chanting Hare Krishna. In practice it has been seen that such an artificial way of trying to become Krishna conscious does not make anyone advance. They leave a secluded place and chant Hare Krishna. But when they come out, they are smoking. They cannot even give up tobacco, let alone the other enticements of the material world. When you become mature, then you may wish to try living in seclusion. Maya is everywhere and she will tempt you with for example, tobacco. So you will not advance while engaging in such nonsense. Palena parichayat. In general, people understand that by retiring from ordinary life, one becomes spiritually advanced. That is being taught here, but it is not like that. Krishna taught to the whole world that Arjuna was a soldier, he was a fighter, and even by fighting and carrying out his prescribed duty, he can be Krishna conscious. So text 2, we were Vyamishreneva Vakyena. So Prabhupada says, Vyamishreneva Vakyena means unsystematic, unorganized, confusing, juggling words. So Prabhupada writes about it. In the previous chapter, as a prelude to Bhagavad Gita, many different paths were explained, such as Sankhya Yoga, Buddhi Yoga, control of the senses by intelligence, work without fruitive desire, and the position of the neophyte. So, position of the neophyte, where it is described? See, Sankhya Yoga is described 11 to 30. And Buddhi Yoga is described in? Buddhi Yoga is described in? 39 to 53. And control of the senses by intelligence, that is described in? Yeah, 54 to 72. And work without fruitive desire. Work without fruitive desire is? 38th verse. And that is more explained. That is Buddhi Yoga only. Next section elaborates on that verse. A hint is given. Prabhupada says, no, hint is given. And this will be further explained in the next verses. And position of the neophyte. Where is the neophyte position?
First 59.
Position of the neophyte. Basically, they are Vedavada, so-called followers of the Vedas, neophytes. This was all prescribed unsystematically. A more organized outline of the path would be necessary for action and understanding. So, although Krishna had no intention of confusing Arjuna by jugglery of words, Arjuna could not follow the process of Krishna consciousness, either by inertia or by active service. So here, in the verse, Vyamishreneva Vakyena Buddhim Mohaya Shivame Tadekam Vadanishchitya Yena Sheyoyam Apnuyam. So Sheya word came in 1.31. Nacha Sheyo na Pashyami Hatva Svajanam Ahave. Then in 2.7, what he says? Karpanya dosho pahata svabhava prashyamitam dharma sammoda cheta yashreyashan nishitam bruhe tanme shishyasteham shadimam tam prapanam. So you tell me definitely what is ultimate shreya for me. And then in 31st verse of 2nd chapter, or 32nd, dharmadi yuddha shreyonyas. By saying that being a kshatriya, for you, fighting for the sake of dharma is highest shreya, it is. 30. Dharmadi swadharmam api chaveksha navikampitum arhasi dharmadi yuddha shreyonyat. So Krishna says that is highest for you. But now again he is saying, being confused between his so-called understanding of Buddhi Yoga and Karma Yoga. So his so-called understanding of Buddhi Yoga, because he did not understand Buddhi Yoga. He considered Buddhi Yoga as karma sanyas, giving up karma and just sitting, perform austerities, just beg some food and eat, like that. So then now you see this word nishchitya also is coming here, ascertaining or definitely. So tell me in confidently, in an assertive way. So what is ultimate shreya for me? Yashreyasha nishitam bruhitan me. There also nishitam word comes. So Arjuna was in, after hearing second chapter, it did not affect him at all. At least he has stopped crying now because of hearing, you know, topics of soul. So now he has come a little bit from emotional platform to intellectual platform he has come. So, and on intellectual platform now he is confused. Mohasi, buddhi mohasi yava me. My intelligence is bewildered now. So, but the situation accepted of his becoming free from emotional platform or crying and lamentation, his situation is same as beginning, at the beginning of the second chapter. What was he was in beginning? Because there also he didn't know what is ultimate benefit, ultimately beneficial for him. So, or ultimate activity which he has to perform. And again in the third chapter, beginning, his situation is same. Except that he is just not lamenting now. So here he says, sometimes things appear, so I'll read some quotes from the lectures. Sometimes things appear contradictory to the student. In fact, the master conversant in these matters does not say anything contradictory. It was not Arjuna, Krishna's desire to confuse Arjuna, but Arjuna, he misunderstood and got confused. That was his problem. Sometimes student will misunderstand and think there are contradictions. Therefore, students are advised to ask questions of the spiritual master. To the spiritual master, it should be. Tadvidhi, they should understand the transcendental science. First of all, surrender, then question, then seva, service. Surrender, service and question. If you simply question without surrender, and don't render any service, then you simply wasting your time. So therefore, we have not only discussion on Bhagavad Gita. Therefore, we have sadhana, we have, you know, training into attitudes, we have service. So all these things are important in Krishna consciousness. So not just sit and we'll go on discussing, but that will not be bring us into conclusion, because Bhagavad Gita is not just meant for armchair speculation. That is not Vedic culture, that is not process of Krishna consciousness. So I was making one point that we have Bhaktivedanta purports and Arjuna didn't have Bhaktivedanta purports. But even if we have Bhaktivedanta purports also, it is not that, oh, we will not misunderstand. So therefore we need Guru. Therefore, we need to learn from other devotees. So, it's not that we are free from misconception just by reading, you know, Bhagavad Gita as it is. So, many people read Bhagavad Gita as it is, right? Many people read Bhagavad Gita as it is. No, we distribute mass book distribution, we do. So, not that everyone will come understand, you know, Krishna as it is or Bhagavad Gita as it is. So, reading Bhagavad Gita as it is one thing. So they will get some sukruti, but they may become envious also. Like sometime often people come and tell us, oh, your Swami only he speaks about Krishna, they say. Right? Many people you have met? Yeah. I have met many people whenever. So Prabhuji distributes books, he has experience, you see. Many people will come, oh, I have read Bhagavad Gita as it is. This Bhagavad Gita only I have read. So, but your guru only talks about Krishna, Krishna everywhere like this. And many academic scholars, they studied Prabhupada Bhagavad Gita as it is. And in Prabhupada Bhagavad Gita as it is, so Prabhupada severely criticizes academic scholars. And all these academic scholars who read, they also criticize Srila Prabhupada. They say, Krishna is telling one thing and this exactly opposite purport he writes. And still he claims that his Bhagavad Gita is as it is. For example, sixth chapter, you know, or, so he says, Krishna is talking about, he is explaining the procedure of Ashtanga Yoga, Shucho Desho Pratishtapya. Immediately Prabhupada writes, this is not practical. So exactly opposite of what is Krishna is telling. But is it exactly opposite? Is it exactly opposite? No. Why? Because he knows the heart of Krishna. Ultimately, Krishna is going to reject all these things. Sarva dharmam parityajya mamekam sharanam vraja. So it is actually compassion of Srila Prabhupada. It is mercy of Srila Prabhupada. He doesn't want the students of Bhagavad Gita to get misguided not misdirected by reading so many things, you know, which are explained before Sarvadharmam Parityaja Mamekam. He just wants everyone to understand that one point. Sarvadharmam Parityaja Mamekam Sharanam. So therefore, we also need to learn it from spiritual master. We have to ask questions to spiritual master. Tadvidhi pranipatena pri prashnena sevaya. And especially that last line of the Prabhupada, you see there. In other words, by his questions, he is clearing the path of Krishna consciousness for all the students who seriously want to understand the mystery of Bhagavad Gita. So that is, it's not that Arjuna wanted, he was confused. He was not confused. So, but for our sake, we may misunderstand the statements of Krishna in the second chapter and become pseudo-saintly. Therefore, Arjuna is asking all these questions. So, text 3. Shri Bhagavan Uvacha Lokeshmin Vividhanishta Purapokta Mayanaga Jnana Yogena Samkhyanam Karma Yogena Yoginam. The Supreme Personality of Godhead said, O sinless Arjuna, I have already explained that there are two classes of men who try to realize the self. Some are inclined to understand it by empirical method, philosophical speculation. So there are two kinds of men who try to realize the self. One is empirical philosophical speculation. Jnana yogena sankhyana. So they just, we have discussed, no, about Sankhya philosophers. They want to analyze the 20 different, study, analytically study the difference between body and soul. So they are one class. Karma yogena yoginam, others by devotional service, are engaging in varnashrama, prescribed duties, and offering the results to Supreme Lord Vishnu. So these are the two people who are involved, trying to engage in self-realization. So this will be very easy, it can be easily understood from Prabhupada's quote on this, Prabhupada quote, lecture quote. In the lecture, Prabhupada nicely explains, you see here. There are certain classes of men who simply philosophize, and there are certain classes of men who simply blindly follow religious ritualistic processes. The Bhagavad Gita is a scientific combination of both. You see here, what is the meaning of this verse? How Bhagavad Gita is developing from this point, you know? So Prabhupada is, and here in this verse, Prabhupada says, no? Religion without philosophy is sentimentalism or sometimes fanaticism, and philosophy without religion is mental speculation. So either we have tendency to go into the mode of mental speculation, or we have tendency to become sentimental, even in Krishna consciousness. What to speak of Sankhyas, and you know. So that is our tendency. Either we want to become sentimental, or we want to become just mental speculators. So there should be combination of both. So Bhagavad Gita is a scientific combination of both. You should be religious, but you should also understand everything philosophically. Otherwise, one becomes a religious fanatic. In the Chaitanya Charitamrita, it is clearly said that Chaitanya Dayara Katha Khara Vichar. Chaitanya Daya Khara Vichar. You people try to understand the gifts of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu by your philosophical understanding, not blindly philosophically. Vichara Kharite Chitte Paibe Chamatkar. So, vichar. Philosophically understand. If you want to use your knowledge, philosophy, arguments, logic, reason, try to understand Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's mercy, it is told. When you understand that philosophically, you will be astonished. So if you are actually a wise man, then you will find it is sublime. You simply stick to your own religious ritualistic principles without trying to understand the philosophy of everything. Then you will become a fanatic. So we should not become religious fanatics, nor dry mental speculators. Both these classes of men are dangerous. They cannot make any advancement. So you should be religious and also try to understand each and every line philosophically. We have seen many such philosophical speculators. They simply talk the meetings and that's all. And if you examine their private character, it is less than ordinary. A person may be a nice speaker, but will that help you in your spiritual realization? On the other hand, if you chant Hare Krishna, it will give you immediate results. Lecture 3.1.5, Los Angeles 68. So now you see, sometimes we think that, who will come to hear? Those who come to temple, they don't come to hear philosophy. They come to take prasadam, take part in kirtan. Philosophy they will not understand. Just give prasadam and kirtan. There are some statements of Srila Prabhupada like that. Prabhupada said about Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he did not discuss philosophy with the general public. He just did kirtan and distributed prasadam. And he discussed philosophy with Rupa Goswami, Sanatana Goswami, Sarvabhaum Bhattacharya, Prakashananda Saraswati, all big scholars, like that. It is true, but Prabhupada in the temple, by having two classes, morning Bhagavatam and evening Bhagavad Gita classes, so at least devotees, he wanted to maintain a philosophical basis. That is how Bhagavad Gita is. So Bhagavad Gita is combination of both philosophy and rituals. Not just rituals. Not just we'll go on doing kirtan melas one after the another. So we have to discuss Bhagavad Gita, Bhagavatam, thoroughly. Okay, so this is the point. Lokesh means vividhanishta, jnana yogena sankhyanam, karma yogena yoginam. So this is on different platforms we can understand what is the meaning of karma, jnana yogena sankhyanam. It can be atheistic sankhya philosophers who are just go on speculating. And then their karma yogena yoginam means it can be karma kandis, followers of Jaimini. So they will hate all this so-called philosophical speculation. They are not capable of performing sacrifices, therefore they are speculating on philosophy, they will. And atheistic Sankhya philosophers and Mayavadis who take karma sannyas, who give up prescribed duties, they say that prescribed duty is the cause of bondage, therefore we should not engage in that. Or on devotional platform, we may just go on doing only philosophical speculation, but may not engage in practical service. Or we may only do service, or kirtan, but we may not understand philosophy. So both are wrong. So in the second chapter, verse 39, the Lord explained two kinds of procedures, namely Sankhya Yoga and Karma Yoga, Buddhi Yoga. In this verse, the Lord explains the same more clearly. Sankhya Yoga, or the analytical study of the nature of the spirit and matter, is the subject matter of persons who are inclined to speculate and understand things by experimental knowledge and philosophy. Other classes of men work in Krishna consciousness, as it is explained in 66th verse of second chapter. So now you see, there are many academic scholars who do some service to. It's not that all academic scholars are against Krishna consciousness movement. Like when Prabhupada was there, there was one professor called Stilson Judah, Joseph O. Cornell, there are many people like that, many scholars, academic scholars. They appreciated Krishna consciousness movement. They wrote book in a positive way about the Krishna consciousness movement. So in this way, they did some service to Krishna and Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's mission on an intellectual platform. But the purpose of Krishna consciousness movement is not just that much, just on intellectual. So everything, sacrificing everything, mind, body, words, in the service of Krishna. So then, other class of men work in Krishna consciousness, as it is explained in the 61st verse of the second chapter. That verse especially talks about bhakti, we were telling, no? A glimpse of bhakti in the last verse of the second chapter, Prabhupada says. The Lord has explained also in the 39th verse that by working by the principles of buddhi yoga or Krishna consciousness, one can be relieved from the bonds of action. And furthermore, there is no flaw in the process. The same principle is more clearly explained in 61st verse. That is buddhi yoga. Is to depend entirely on the Supreme, or more specifically on Krishna. And in this way all the senses can be brought under control very easily. Therefore both the yogas are interdependent. As religion and philosophy. Religion without philosophy is sentiment or sometimes fanaticism, while philosophy without religion is mental speculation. So from this lecture I was telling, you know, Bhagavad Gita is the combination of both, Prabhupada says. So this is essence of Bhagavad Gita. This statement, you know, religion without philosophy is sentimentalism or fanaticism, and philosophy without mental speculation is religion without philosophy is philosophy without religion is mental speculation. Either we have tendency to become sahajiya, that is religion without philosophy, or we have tendency to become impersonalist without religion. No? So these are two deviations within Krishna consciousness. Sahajiyaism and Mayavad, these are the two deviations in Krishna consciousness. So therefore, we have to follow this statement. Both should be there, religion and philosophy. This is essence of Bhagavad Gita and this is essence of Krishna consciousness process. Those who are practicing Krishna consciousness, they should remember this. Basically, what is that? Religious activities means what? In Krishna consciousness, at least morning and evening program we have to attend. And in the daytime, even if your service is completely connected to, you know, philosophy, reading or writing, etc., etc., or preaching, speaking, so at least minimum that much ritual we have to maintain, religion we have to maintain. So in this way the balance will be there. So, and this is the essence of Srila Prabhupada's teachings. And all the acharyas teaching. This line came from whom actually? It is Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur used to say this line. This statement. Prabhupada took this statement from Bhaktisiddhanta. Maybe it must be coming in parampara. We don't know. But the essence of all the acharyas teachings, because this is the essence of Bhagavad Gita and Krishna consciousness. So this is the essence of all the acharyas teachings. Sometimes we say, oh, Prabhuji, give me 3 hours for reading. Yeah, but then after some days, only sleeping will be happening at that time. 3 hours reading. Okay, so coming back to this point. The ultimate goal is Krishna, because philosophers... another point, if we don't have Varnashrama within the society, you know, Varnashrama regulates our, it's a religion, it is. Dharma means religion, Varnashrama Dharma. If religion is there, not there, Krishna consciousness will become mental speculation. Of course, we have Pancharatrika, deity worship, but deity worship cannot be done without Varnashrama Dharma. Most of the devotees won't have time because, you know, the nature of their, you know, jobs and occupation, it will not give them any time for that religious activities, and the quality of that religious activity will not be good. What you will do, you will purchase something from the market and offer to the deity, right? So it won't be so quality, right? Quality and offer, you know, all kinds of water and, you know, food. Now the water, food and all in the city, it will not be so good. So, and all the, you know, everything, the kitchen would be there only and toilet would be next to that. So, you know, the standard of deity worship, you know, which one should practice, it is, it's not the same in the city yet. It will go down, standard quality will go down. So therefore, if Varnashrama is not there, Krishna consciousness is just speculation, it is. It is just speculation. They will just speculate and so many deviations will be there. I will tell you, hundreds of deviations will be there. Every level there will be deviation. So, because that's not our, ours is religion with philosophy. Religion plus philosophy. The indirect process is philosophical speculation by which gradually one may come to the point of Krishna consciousness. And other process is directly connecting everything with Krishna in Krishna consciousness. Of these two, the path of Krishna consciousness is better because it does not depend on purifying the senses by philosophical process. Now, this will be more clarified in the beginning of the fifth chapter. Like I was telling, no, digging the earth and finding the roots and watering. Or because there is tree, directly water it. Because roots, tree is there means roots will be there. So this is process of difference between Sankhya Yoga and Bhakti Yoga. Of these two paths, the path of Krishna consciousness is better because it is does not depend on purifying the senses of by philosophical process. Krishna consciousness itself the purifying process, and by direct method, the devotional service, it is simultaneously easy and sublime. So this is little, it can become little confusing, but it has to be understood on different platforms. Like I was telling, how these two things can be there even on the platform of Krishna consciousness, we were discussing. So this verse has to be understood on different platform. So, and it always happens like that. So in Bhagavad Gita, so three things, especially in the Bhagavad Gita as it is, three things clash. One is gradual process of this karma yoga, daiva varnasham dharma, keeping Krishna in the center, and then there is karma sannyas, just rejecting everything like mayavadis and sankhya philosophers they do. So so Krishna recommends this one. And ultimately Krishna wants us to come to the platform of devotional service. So like we were discussing, this Kurukshetra war is not just prescribed duty, it is a will of Krishna. So Arjuna should fight not just because he is a Kshatriya. He should fight because he is a devotee and I have to do this service to Krishna. Because it is a will of Krishna. So ultimately it wants us to bring us to the platform of devotional service. Where action will be there, where knowledge would be there, everything would be there. And Prabhupada always stresses this point, you know, the platform of devotional service in the purport. So therefore it can be confusing. You have to remember this. So, text 4. Text 4 I will do it in the afternoon. Because I wanted to read that Bhaktivinoda Thakur article, Perils of Babaji Life, because here sannyas, so sannyas is discussed, eligibility for sannyas is discussed in this verse, and we don't have time to read that. So we'll stop here and I'll take 2 minutes, some questions, if one or two questions, then we can proceed. Any questions? So understood Arjuna's confusion? What was Arjuna's confusion? It's clear?
Arjuna is asking questions to Krishna. He's directing him by different names. Janardana,
Yeah, context, yeah.
So is it not a diplomatic way of saying how much it is?
No, it is not. In one sense, it is like that. But he doesn't indicate like that, because see, there are subtle nonsense of language. So that can be understood only when we know that language. So, because Arjuna knows Sanskrit, Krishna knows Sanskrit. So they can understand what they meant by Keshava and Arjuna. But for us it appears diplomatic, because we don't know language. You got the idea? And Acharyas are elaborating for our understanding. But Arjuna, for Krishna it was clear. When Arjuna took the name of Janardana and Keshava, it was clear for him. So, there is, I wanted to read that conversation. In linguistics, after 12th century, Sanskrit, the scholars, they developed a new language called, new language or new way of debating in Sanskrit, or discussion in Sanskrit. That is called as Navya Nyaya. Navya Nyaya, after 12th century. So in Sanskrit. So that overcome the problem of confusion due to different meanings of the words. But the problem with Navya Nyaya is that it cannot be precise. You have to explain it elaborately. Like now Prabhupada explains elaborately what is the meaning of Keshava or Janardana. So elaborately, make it clear, what one intends to speak or tell. So this is a linguistic issue it is. What you are asking is, like for example, I wanted to give an example of regarding this linguistic nonsense or different meanings of one word, Sanskrit word. So a conversation between Shankaracharya and Mandan Mishra, when he entered, what conversation took place there. But I'll tell something from Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu which I remember now. I wanted to tell that example, that Shankaracharya and Mandan Mishra example, because that is basically linguistic, because here the question of language has come. But in Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu it is little deep and esoteric it is. So generally we don't speak it, but anyway. So it is on the platform of Bhakti, but it is very deep and esoteric. So of course we can discuss that. It is told about how Krishna is genius. He is very expert linguist. Radha is asking Krishna, where is your vasa, like that nowadays, where is your vasa, like that she says. Krishna says different meanings. Vasa means three meanings. One is residence, one is clothes, and one is fragrance. These are three meanings of word vasa. Now Krishna answers this question in a different way. We will not go into elaborate, it is a little esoteric it is. One meaning is, where are your clothes? That means he is naked. So, and where is your residence? Krishna says, presently my residence is in your eyes. He says, So like that, in this way, due to different meanings and different nuances of the language, subtle nuances of the language, it can be different. It may appear diplomatic to us. But it is not diplomatic. For them it was clear, between Arjuna and Krishna. For our understanding, Acharyas are giving what is the significance of this name here in this particular verse. Any other questions?
Prabhuji, in this verse, where Vividha Nishtha is explained, how to understand that Vividha Nishtha is like Karma Yogin, Yoginam and Sankhya philosophy that. So, but the term instead of Karma Yogin, Yoginam, it has been
put as Krishna consciousness.
Devotional service.
Yeah, yeah.
So, can this term be inter, can be used synonymously or like, because Karma Yogin, that way, because I'm not conversing with, that's why I'm asking how to understand that Karma Yoga can be used interchangeably with devotional service, Bhakti Yoga.
Yeah, definitely, because one word in Sanskrit gives the, indicates to many objects, and many words indicate to one object in Sanskrit. Now, for example, Bhakti Yoga means it can be Karma Yoga also. No, sorry, Buddhi Yoga means, and Bhakti Yoga means it can be Karma Yoga also, it can be Jnana Yoga also, it can be Ashtanga Yoga also, it can be Shuddha Bhakti also, pure devotional service. That is Bhakti Yoga, highest rung of ladder. So Prabhupada says, Buddhi Yoga performed in relations with action, karma, is called Karma Yoga. Buddhi Yoga performed in relation with philosophy and knowledge is of the absolute, is called Jnana Yoga. And Buddhi Yoga performed in relation with Eightfold Mystics, Eightfold Yoga System is called Ashtanga Yoga. And Buddhi Yoga performed in relation with pure love and devotion, that is called as Bhakti Yoga, Shuddha Bhakti. And Bhakti Yoga also means, Buddhi Yoga also means Bhakti Yoga. Dadami Buddhi Yogam Tham Yenamad. It is called as complete yoga. And the word yoga also means. And Bhakti includes, if you take the components of each of these yogas. So, now then Buddhi Yoga performed in relation with Karma is called Karma Yoga. And Buddhi Yoga also means Bhakti Yoga. So therefore then it becomes Karma Mishra Bhakti and Jnana Mishra Bhakti and Yoga Mishra Bhakti, because ultimately Yoga means to link it to Krishna. You are performing your prescribed duties and you are offering it to Krishna. Then Yoga means Bhakti Yoga, therefore he says Prabhupada in one statement in the 6th chapter. So by taking all these statements in different places, this chart is made. So it is a Karma Mishra Bhakti. Ultimately, only one yoga is there. Yoga means it is Bhakti Yoga it is. But because they are mixed with different things, then they become Karma Mishra Bhakti, Jnana Mishra Bhakti, Yoga Mishra Bhakti and Shuddha Bhakti. So in this way, and if you take the, because yoga means Bhakti Yoga, so there is no wrong in putting wherever yoga word comes. Karma Yogena Yogina means there is no wrong in putting Krishna consciousness or Bhakti Yoga there, Shuddha Bhakti there. That is one point. In this way we can understand this. Another way to understand this, if you, now I have not put the components here. Components we will be discussing in the 6th chapter. So, for this Prabhupada gave example of Himalayan mountain. There is Himalayan mountain. It is a mountain range. But there are different rungs are there, different peaks are there. Similarly, whole path of yoga is Bhakti Yoga. But again, there are different levels are there. Karma Mishra Bhakti is there, Jnana Mishra Bhakti is there, and Yoga Mishra Bhakti is there, and then Shuddha Bhakti is there. That is Mount Everest, Shuddha Bhakti is. So, and if you study the components of each yogas, Karma Yoga has action. Some renunciation is developing gradually. It's not full. Otherwise, it cannot be yoga, right or not? Or we can call it as Nishkam Karma Yoga. There is action. Components are action. And in Jnana, components are knowledge and renunciation. And in yoga, action, knowledge, renunciation and meditation. dhyana comes there. And in bhakti, action, knowledge, renunciation, and meditation, and service. So in this way, bhakti yoga includes all other yoga systems. So it's not wrong to... This is second reason. Third reason is, I was mentioning, it is mercy of Srila Prabhupada. He doesn't want to get distracted with other things. And for the devotees, they should understand it on Krishna. That is third reason. That Prabhupada doesn't want the students of Bhagavad Gita to deviate from the ultimate conclusion and essence of Bhagavad Gita. That is third reason. Fourth reason is, we devotees who are studying Bhagavad Gita, who also need philosophical understanding for performing, practicing devotional service, so we should understand this problem can happen on the, either we may divert towards philosophy, Mayavad or Sahajiyavad. Therefore, we have to understand this on the platform of bhakti also. What can be the deviations? So therefore, Prabhupada puts this as for devotees of Krishna consciousness, for devotees. Because we will also be studying, no? Prabhupada books. So like that. Then that becomes, you know, Prabhupada's own book, you know, right? His teachings.
Explain Karma Yoga, any activity which you do which leads you towards Lord, which connects you to Lord. So when we are doing, when we are reading also, that is, that will come in, say again, that is, everything in that sense isn't not an activity. Pujana, like anything, even if you close your eyes, meditate on Lord's chant, Lord's name, whatever nine limbs of bhakti, is that not Karma Yoga? Because that's an activity also, no?
Yeah, that's why bhakti yoga includes action, I told, no? Bhakti yoga, when we were discussing the components, it includes action. So,
my
question
is like...
in the sixth chapter in the beginning, if you see when Krishna explains yoga ladder, in the beginning of the ladder, karma is the means, and in the end, cessation of karma is the means. Ultimately, we have to... in one sense, you see, in the fifth chapter, fifth verse of this, you know, one cannot cease work, actually, Krishna says. So, because that is the nature of the, Prabhupada in the purports, he explains, nature of the soul is to be active, body is inert. So, we will discuss that today afternoon, this point, that how soul, is, its nature to be active. So, it is karma, but we can call it as karma yoga aspect of bhakti it is. And we sit and meditate, you know, sit in a posture and meditate, you know, sukhasana, chant Hare Krishna. That is what Ashtanga yoga form of devotional service. If devotee performs some yogasana for keeping his body fit, that is Ashtanga yoga form of devotional service. It is karma yoga, but it is aspect of devotional service. If you are doing that on a devotional platform, on the platform of Shuddha Bhakti, it is Karma Yoga, because Shuddha Bhakti includes all these things. But that aspect it is, Karma Yoga aspect of Bhakti.
Sometimes transcendence is transcendental, Jnani, Yogis and Bhaktas. Karma Yogis are not used. There are three classes of transcendence.
Yeah, so it's like that. Generally, karmis are, because they have attachment to fruits of action, once they become detached, they come to platform of knowledge. Therefore, from jnanis it is included, it is told sometimes. Because you have to divide the karmis into two parts. One is sakama karmis and other aspect of that is nishkama karma. Nishkama karmis are on the platform of yoga. Yoga begins from there. They are also can be considered as transcendentalists, but they have already attained some knowledge by following their prescribed ways. So therefore, directly jnanis are considered as transcendentalists. Okay, we'll stop here. We'll take questions. If you have more questions, we can discuss. I don't know. So we'll go to Gauraipalli now, and quickly, in 2 minutes, everyone should take your if you want to take bath there, children especially, if you want to take bath there, they are given some fruits and all, or they are fasting? Huh? Fasting. So we have fruits? So you should have some more, no? There we'll get. We'll get there, in that village we'll get. Oh, we should have purchased. So, keep ready whenever they want. And quickly, in 2 minutes, if you want, you can take gamcha towel, you can take.